Okadon.
Okadon. What's going on?
We are back for another episode.
Back in the building.
Back in the building.
Sir.
And coming back in the building, although with a similar mindset that we had last time.
And still down a member.
Still down a member.
Still down Matt recovering.
Still on leave. Huh? You on that extended leave.
I know. Extended leave, you know.
Ooh, and we didn't get that note, so... Not yet. At this, it could be considered AWOL at some point.
I mean, we're getting close, but...
Yeah, so Matt... Heads up. All right, sir. We had so much fun last time speaking about coaching, right? The aspect of coaching, all the different nuances, the strategies, parents, refs, all that good stuff. A potential parent volunteering or on the fence about volunteering to be a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this episode, let's talk about now that you're considering volunteering, now you have jumped in and volunteered. So this episode, let's call it Coaching 101.
Okay.
Right? Because we're fairly new to it as well. But at least from that early experience, before we get tainted with the...
I'm literally in Coaching 101 right now.
Same here. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about now that as a parent, you have decided, you know what? I'm going to go and coach my son or daughter. Where's the manual? Where's the handbook? Where's the cliff notes?
So I don't think there is one, first of all. I mean, there's so much stuff. I mean, the internet, man, it's just got tons of stuff out there. But what you have to sift through is what is fact, fiction, and all of the above.
Yes.
You know, not everything on the internet is fact.
Correct.
Wait,
you don't believe everything on the net?
No, I don't. I don't. Man. Yeah, no. Okay. I got over that at some point when I was, you know, probably about... 12, 13 years old in the early days of the net, you learn pretty quickly. but no, I mean, I think it's, you know, partially you got to find the information that resonates with you.
Right.
And then use that to try to implement into what you're doing. So, and I say it depends too, right? Because, so for example, for football, because I'm USA football certified, there's lots of resources available to me on USA football.
Right.
So it's not like I'm totally on my own, but
you're somewhat in the dark.
Well, it's translating those resources to when you've got, you know, a bunch of, you know, 8 to 12 year olds, which is the range that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Standing there on the field waiting to go, right?
But let me pause you real quick. There are the written rules.
Oh, of course.
And then there are the unwritten rules.
Of course.
Which generally how it's operated by.
Yeah. And
how do you learn those?
And so the resources that I've seen, so I'm going to caveat that because I'm sure there's tons of resources that I have yet to see, focus mainly on just the how do you execute the written rules, how do you develop a game plan, and how do you do this, how do you do that. It's all the other stuff, things that we talked about last episode, you know, dealing with the kids, dealing with parents. I mean, there's of course a little bit of training for that, but like nothing, just like anything, no classroom training in any aspect in any profession replicates on the job training.
Right.
None of it.
Right.
None of it replicates on the job training when you actually are confronted with it.
Right.
In your face. And I'll say confronted in a negative connotation, but just
your face
when you're in it.
Right.
Right. That classroom training doesn't fully prepare you for that. So it's kind of like on the job training is always the best training, man. It's always the best experience.
Experience is the best teacher, huh?
It is. So I would say, you know, for any parent that has jumped in there is, do some research, do as much research as you can. And the biggest thing is try to be as prepared as you can.
Yes.
And I don't want to get too deep into that because I know we're going to be talking, we might dive into that a little later.
Yes,
but,
we will.
But don't just show up.
Oh,
you
got to
be
God.
Prepared.
Yes, preparation is key for anything in life generally, especially when you're dealing with a bunch of preteen, you know, adolescent.
Especially if they're just learning for the first time.
Exactly. And then also their parents are learning for the first time. So it's a lot of hurdles.
Right.
Which are thrown at one or maybe two people.
Right.
From every angle. And then say, here, now go succeed.
Yes, sir.
Again, where's the manual?
I wish.
Maybe you could write one.
Maybe. Long in the distant future. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so let me know. Let's break this down. I know that the worlds of different sports coaching, like, you know, soccer, baseball, whatever. Let's talk about the two that we're familiar with, basketball and football. And from what I've seen you, I haven't experienced it, but from what I've seen, your time and the time that one takes over the other or really pulls from you mm-hmm. and the other is drastic.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you speak about that? So I know more football. And then I'll take a little bit of basketball.
Yeah, so now that I've had some experience coaching both, I think for me, I think it's easier to show up with kids at this age and play basketball than it is football.
I would agree.
And generally within youth sports, I think I can, you know, foresee this even as the kids continue to get older, because the difference between basketball and football is, so in basketball, you've got five kids and they're playing offense and defense. Mm-hmm. But in football, you've got 11 kids on offense, 11 kids on defense, mm-hmm. 11 kids on special teams, and they're all dynamically running out on the field different variations.
Just to clarify, sorry to cut you off. That's not 33 kids.
There's not 33 kids.
It's a combination, right?
So it just depends on how many are signed up. I mean, you might have 21 and be lucky enough to have 11 for defense, 11 for offense, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We have, I think, about 18. So we've got a few kids that play both ways. Okay. But the point being, like, even on defense, right, you've got 11 guys, 11 kids who are all supposed to do, you know, one particular thing on any given play. And some of them might have two or three responsibilities on any given play, depending on what happens, you know, in the backfield, right? So, for example, you know, our linemen are trained to defensive linemen are trained to stunt a certain way in, like, a 5-3 defense. But our linebackers have multiple because they got to watch the inside gap and the outside gap, depending on they got to read and react to the quarterback. And so they've got two responsibilities. And our safety has to be prepared for any of the angles. It's like the last, you know, last line resort, defense, right. Last line of defense. But also be aware that there could be a play fake and a pass. Right. Now, passes are more rare on this level, but there are teams who do it. So you still got to be ready for it. And so that's what I mean by it's a little bit more dynamic than basketball. Like, you can't just show up. Like, we coached and we didn't really have a bunch of set plays because we just had talented kids that could go out there and play together. We worked through certain things like passing and how they would work together on the court without necessarily having a particular play. But, like, football, you can't go out there and just play.
Yeah, football, especially with you have double the kids that you have on a court in basketball, right? At least on one side.
Right.
So you have 11 on this side, 11 on that side. That's 22 kids at a time on a field. More variables, meaning more anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Right, versus basketball is you know your five kids. You're also in closer proximity.
Right.
Because in football, you're a little farther out. I don't think you have helmet mics.
We don't have helmet mics.
That idiot, right? So
no helmet mics.
So that may not help in that situation.
Right. No. I learned that, you know, with our first official game this weekend, and it's a lot of yelling.
Right.
A lot of yelling, especially, like, you get one play through, you got to get ready to get the next play out there when you're on offense, particular. You know, and so it's a lot of yelling trying to get, you know, the quarterback's attention to call in the next play because you don't have the headset. So,
and then for him to get it and then relay it,
he has to get everybody in the huddle. He's got to relay it, get out of the huddle, make sure everybody knows the snap count,
right?
Make sure we don't false start. I mean, so many little intricacies, and then same thing, right? Like, if the center doesn't get the ball, because we started the game. We had a lot of mishaps with our snaps.
Okay.
A lot of potential fumbles. We actually fumbled it and turned it over one time. But we had multiple times where the snap wasn't there, or fumbled at the line, or a shotgun snap went straight to the ground. I mean, just the mechanics of getting that right, play after play after play, is so much different than how basketball operates, where you can take five kids and show up on a court and play basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially at that age, where you don't need to design very complicated plays and have a lot of complicated terminology behind those plays. Because football, I'm sure, has a lot of, you know, I've heard some of, you know, the famous Omaha.
Right.
but there's a lot of like,
yeah,
a lot of, it's like a long, you right. know, like what are the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, right?
and so we don't have anything like that, but we do have, you know, like, for example, we have, doubles right, fake lightning, X screen, right? And for kids to say, but they know what it is. Mm. They know exactly what every, you know, piece of that is. I can say it and doesn't mean anything to anybody else.
Right.
Right. They have no idea what that means.
Whereas we have box one,
2-3 zone.
Or flood.
Right.
Right. Or just stack.
And of course, as you go up, like, even in basketball, it gets way more complicated.
Right, right.
But football is more complicated because it's more dynamic. There's more unpredictability in football than there is basketball.
Agreed.
When you have double the amount of people. And then, if I may, from a coaching perspective, preparing, we talked about preparation earlier, preparing for football is next level for me.
Okay.
Like, that's been the biggest difference between coaching football versus coaching basketball. For basketball, you know, you can go through the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And I think we took the approach of the more we focus on the fundamentals, the better we're going to play, rather than not worrying about the fundamentals and just trying to put in random plays.
Right.
We weren't going to be ready for a team. So let's focus on dribbling, shooting, passing, setting screens, playing tough defense, right? We didn't put in anything complicated for them.
No.
We just worried about playing the fundamentals, and we went undefeated until the championship. So that was easier in that sense versus because we didn't have to do a whole lot of prep time. You know, we came into practices, we had our drills
kind of
set, and it was just run the drills, go through, be ready for the next game, right?
Right.
Also, it was one practice a week.
It was at that point.
At that point. Yeah. And so this is three practices a week. Bro, I got to spend a few hours to prep for every practice.
Whew.
Because we have to have it scheduled. Like, we're going to do our warm-ups for this amount of time. We're going to take a water break. Then we're going to do, like, let's say, three stations. One is going to be tackling, one is going to be blocking, and another one's going to be agility. And we'll do that for another period of time, 25-30 minutes. All right, now we're going to take another water break. Now we're going to do some offensive work for a period of time, put in some new plays, practice plays, take another water break, do some, like, every minute of that 2-hour block is 2 hours three times a week. Every minute is scripted, like, down to what we're going to do.
Highly structured.
And highly structured because you have so much. I mean, even in 3 days, there's so much to need to go to. Because the common thing that I've found so far, and I've also heard through some of the other teams in the same, in the higher weight divisions, but in the same program, is it all comes down to tackling and blocking. So you got to get tackling in, you got to get blocking in, but you also have to have time for them to practice the plays. They got to be able to practice their defensive formations. They got to be able to know where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do in different situations. That's one thing we did last week. You got to spend some time, you know, at least getting into special teams formations so they know what they're supposed to do, you know, where they're supposed to line up on the field, all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, continue to do agility. We have another one called the pit. Pit's fun, man. Just put them around in a circle. They get down to three, you know, two of them get down 3-point stance and they hit. Right. So, but it gets that, you know, gets them used to that contact because they got to be ready for that contact when it comes game time.
Absolutely.
So there's just a lot of thought and preparation because you don't want to do the same thing every time. You got to structure it. Right. And have it in a way that we're working different things, but all in a goal to be ready for the next game on Saturday. man, way more intense.
Way more intense than what we did for basketball. Yeah. Basketball, we can get complicated, but again, it's like you said, it's a lot easier to just show up. Not to say that you don't need to prepare. You do need to prepare, because before all our practices, I did spend a good half hour to an hour just prepping, like, okay, here's what I need them to do. Here's what I'm going to have them do. Here's the timing on what this is. And then sometimes you got to feel it out too in a game, like to mm-hmm. see how kids are feeling. Do they need a little bit of, you know what, let's have a little more fun drill to get them upbeat again. So it's a lot of like, it doesn't have to be as structured, but it does. It's a little bit more flexible, like I would mm-hmm. say. So yeah, football is definitely tougher. So if you're a parent, again, between football and basketball.
Man, I'm telling you, there's some times I walk it up, I'm like, why did I do this again? But also too, like, so we won on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So won our first game. And then just seeing like the joy
yes.
of these kids, like yes. after we shook hands, did the good sportsmanship, and I watched the live stream back, and as soon as each one of them left the line, they're all running back to the sidelines. One kid tripped over himself celebrating. Like, it was just great for them to like start the season off with that confidence
yeah.
and be like, oh, well, wait a minute. The stuff that the coaches are telling us is true. If we all put it together,
right.
you know, we can win the game. And we
right.
did.
Right.
So like that part is great, but there's, you know, it's just so much that goes into that. So I'm hoping that we can just continue to build off of that.
Yeah, I agree. That's also the same experience and feeling I don't know about you, but I had when we were co-coaching for our summer league. When the kids won, they just had this sense of like confidence, and they had this joy, right? Because as a coach, all that work you put in, all that grinding and pushing and whatever for the kids, to see that culminate into success, and the kids' joy and their expression, and everyone's happy, it makes it better, right? It just makes right. it a lot more wholesome and fulfilling.
Right.
Not to say that you shouldn't lose. Yeah, there's lessons in losing as well. But from if you win as a coach,
mm-hmm.
all right, all the hard work we put in means something, right?
Right.
It worked. Coach, whatever he was telling us, it worked.
Right.
And now you have their ear.
Right.
So getting their ear
is...
Right, you hope. But if you lose, though, coach doesn't know what he's talking about. Right. The parents are like, I don't know, what kind of coach you got? I coach you better on the drive home.
No, my parents are great.
Some parents, though, you know, I've been that parent, right, driving on the way home. Man, I don't know what your coach be thinking. Man, I know I can coach you better than that. You should have done this play and that play. And that's almost every bleacher dad, right?
So my wife told me a funny story. She said, because she was there at the game, and she said that after the game, one of the parents, which I didn't know that he knew she was my wife, she hasn't been around that all that much, but I guess he must have seen me like talking to her or something at one point. And he walked past and he was like, your husband coached a heck of a game.
Hey.
And I was like it was validating. But more so, it makes the preparation side of it like
yes.
it's like, oh, it was worth it, you
it
know?
Was exactly.
And what it's given me is the, okay, like I can start to see already that when I do this next year, I'm saying when I do this
right,
next year,
right, see?
Intentionally, like I can already see, okay, how I want to run things from day one. Whereas this year, day one, I didn't,
right,
I was
right.
deer in the headlights.
Right.
Like, right. deer in the fucking headlights. But now it's like, okay, now I'm starting to see it.
Right.
Right. And now I'm like, I'm not overmatched.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like out here just not knowing what I'm doing.
Right.
Like, and we're going to play a tough team this week, so who knows? But at least it's given me, it's also not just giving the kids confidence, but giving, you know, us confidence as coaches too, to
yes.
like, okay, the stuff that we're doing, the time that we're putting in, is worth it.
Yes.
So that was Saturday was a great day, man.
It was. I mean, experience is the best teacher, like you said, right?
Right.
You said earlier. And this is also when we were doing our so after from the summer we parlayed into that our own personal clinics for the kids.
Yep.
And what was really fulfilling to me was that clinic was different from the league, because we took that clinic and really amped it up. Like that was an amped up, like on steroids version of the general practices we did. And I really thought the parents are going to be like, this coach is out of his mind. He's training these little 9-year-old kids like they're adults. But when I got, my phone started like really blowing up at afterwards and the couple of days afterwards, like, when are you having your next one? My son wants to come back. Mm. And that was just like, all right, you know what? Like that feeling right there, that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
And also made me feel like I'm not killing my own child because right. we've been going through it
right.
before the clinics. Like I've been doing this with them.
Right.
So no, I agree, man. That once that comes together, that feeling is like nothing else.
So when we were first entering camp for football in the beginning of August, they talk about how hard the first 2 weeks are at camp, right? Mm. Just because for most kids, they've come from not doing a whole lot all summer to now 5 days a week, 2 hours a night in the humid August in the DC area, right? Like it's hard, right? So they, like I always heard about how you're gonna have some kids, they're gonna lose weight the first few, the first 2 weeks at camp because of all the,
right.
the just getting back into it, whatnot. But I credit those sessions that we did, both the ones that were, it was just our sons, but also the ones we did with the other players as well, for the reason why he was in shape. Yeah. The clinics, he was in shape, and it was a different type of shape, but just he didn't get tired out at practice.
Right. Well, he didn't get gassed.
Because he had already been conditioning because we were playing basketball for that whole month.
Right.
And even in the basketball practices, we still went hard. Oh, you know, I remember we were in the big gym, in the playoffs? Were we in that big gym and we were the only ones that had our kids running the full court? The
full court.
Everybody else did half.
Yep.
And we were running
full court.
Full court laps. I mean, it's crazy. But that's the reason why D was conditioned for football.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And hopefully that's kind of like my whole thing is no matter what sport you play, and this is from a coaching strategy standpoint. Whatever sport you play, your biggest advantage is outlasting your opponent. You don't have to be the most talented, skilled, or whatever. You are great. But if that talent or skill runs out because you ran out of gas,
right?
The guy that is lasting longer than you won.
Yep.
Simple as that. So that's why running and all that is so important as part of any sport and conditioning.
Yep.
So yeah, no, I agree, man. That's 100. I'm happy to hear D was well prepared. We helped him prepare, get ready for that.
Yeah, he's naturally just got that like Energizer Bunny.
He does
unlimited athleticism, but he was more prepared because of those clinics. Absolutely,
that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about some of the more challenges of coaching. I know last time we talked a little bit more from the external points of the external factors like the parents, the referees, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk more so about some strategies of how, you know, motivational tactics and when to balance being strict versus being, you know, good cop, bad cop, and all those, that type of thing. Like, how do you handle that aspect of it? You have a bunch of kids now, they're all goofing off.
So for me, I told all the parents this when I first took over and our teams split. I said, I'm not the barker. Like, I'm not, it's not necessarily about being strict. It's about loud. I think we may have touched on this a little bit last episode, you know,
we did.
But I'm more of the soft spoken, but that doesn't mean that I can't be strict, but it's usually comes out more on a one-on-one basis of like, this is what I need you to do. But it all depends. I mean, for me, the strict part or the bad cop part really only comes out if they're goofing off and not paying attention, or if we continue to make the same mistake over and over again. So as an example, we were practicing some new plays last week that I really wanted to put in for this game because I thought that they were going to work. And there were some nice plays too. But I wanted us to change up the snap count.
Okay.
And instead of just going on one, be able to go on two on set, and we're practicing it. And 5-6 times in a row got it wrong. So finally, I was just like, all right, everybody spread out. We're doing up downs. because y'all are not focused to get it right. Because we keep telling y'all, details are important. Every little detail. Absolutely. If we're telling you to block a certain way, if we're telling, it's all important in order for the play to work. That's how we try to emphasize to these boys that like every position is important.
Right.
Every position. Right. So people, you know, some people look at it like, oh, my kid's on the offensive line or my kid's on the defensive line. Well, their job is important. If they're on the offensive line, our play doesn't work if they don't block.
It starts right there, right?
If we can't get the ball to the quarterback, the center, we can't run a play.
Right.
Right? Like, all these positions are important. If we can't penetrate the line on defense to get the tackle, they're just going to run through us, right, and we're not going to be able to stop them. So every position is important, and so these details that we're teaching you, you got to be able to execute on them. And when we say, like, I'm in the huddle with them at practice and saying, we're doing, you know, base right rhino on two. Everybody got it on two, and they get to the line, and two kids jump on one. And I'm just like, and just like when it got to a certain point, I was like, all right, y'all got to spread out because now you're just not listening.
Yeah.
And so that's where like the bad couple more come out, is either that or they're just goofing off.
Okay.
And when that happens, we make them run laps.
Okay.
Or we make them do up downs.
Okay.
You know, or in one case, we made them go run. We have like a little hill between the top field and lower field. We just had them go run hills one time. And we're like, listen, if y'all don't want to, that was when they're goofing off. Like, if you don't want to focus, we can just run hills all practice. And then one of the kids said, well, how long are we going to run? And I said, we're going to run till I'm tired.
I love it.
You know, but it was just a way of them understanding, like, this is not playtime.
Right.
I tell them all the time.
Right.
We have limited time with y'all.
Right.
I mean, it seems like we have a lot, 6 hours a week, but
it's not though.
It's not a whole lot when you really break it down.
From a development standpoint, it's not.
Right.
Right.
So during this time, I need 2 hours of pure focus.
Right.
Before practice, after practice, y'all can goof off, but I need y'all to focus.
Right.
But then you find moments as well where you have to turn into that motivational. You have to understand what the kid actually needs, right? Mm-hmm. So another example, during the game on Saturday, one of our linemen, and he's a big tough kid, and he was just like kind of sluggishly coming off the field, and I was like, dude, what's going on? I put my arm around him, like, dude, what's going on? He's like, I'm tired. And I was like, listen, I know you're tired, but I need one more quarter. It was about to be the fourth quarter. I was like, I need one more quarter of everything you can give me. Everything you can give me. So you have to just know how to, like,
pull it out of them.
Not gonna yell at him because he's tired,
right?
Right, and be like, you need to suck it up in RBA. Like, that's
that's not the right
use of RBA.
Yeah.
No, like, I just need you to give you everything you've got,
right,
for another quarter, and he did.
Right.
And I told him after the game, I was like, thank you for giving me everything you got.
Awesome.
For the rest of the game.
Awesome.
You know, despite the fact that you were tired. And so you got to know when to, like, pick and choose between that motivational side versus when they just need that stricter
tough love. Yeah.
But I think tough love is a great way to say it, because it is like, look, I want the best for you.
Right. Right.
But y'all got to do your part to give it. Right.
But you know what the love part about it is? Even you running laps, going up down the hill, it's still improving your conditioning, right?
Right.
That's the love.
Right.
You may not like it.
Right.
But that's still me loving you.
One of the things I stole from you, and I tell the boys all the time, I don't think I've told you this yet, is I use it all the time. I tell our kids, I said, us coaches, we can want it for you all we want, but we can't do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want y'all to get better and we win, but we can't want it for you. Like, y'all got to want it.
Right.
You have to want it.
Right. I can't want it more than you want it.
Right.
That's a problem.
Right. So what kind of team do we want to be? And then we had like two or three kids that wanted to give up and give speeches about what kind of team we were going to be. So it's,
there we go.
So it's good when you can pull those motivational things out. And then, like I said, when you get a little bit of confidence going, I'm excited to see what happens now that we got a win under our belts, and how that confidence continues to like trickle down for the rest of the season.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And you made a great point about picking and choosing when to exercise or utilize that good cop, bad cop, you know, posture when it comes to really which player am I going to do it with and how am I going to do it? Because you can't coach everybody the same way. It's just like real life, right? Your relationships with different people are in different manners. There's certain, like for our group, right? I can't use the aggressive, come on, man, step it up type, right? All the time. And sometimes I have to go up and say, hey, man, you got this. Come on, man, you're a shooter. You got this. Let's go. Like, kind of like put that encouragement in him versus, man, is that all you got? You suck, man. Come on. Like, or saying something like that. And then some people feed off of that. Some people don't. They shut down with that. So and kids are like that too. So you have to really pick and choose one, when to utilize that pro and the good and bad, with also, can this kid handle that type of feedback or criticism? So from a coaching, it's a lot of like, almost like a mentor / guidance counselor /
let me tell you, being a coach of youth sports is an art. It's an art, period.
It is.
And it all goes into how you deal with people and different personalities. Especially for kids at this age, when you're talking about, I'm 8 to 12, and they're all at different phases developmentally.
Right.
They're all come from different places and backgrounds. And I've got some like kids with some real background too. But you all have to do them differently. You know, to me, the hardest is coaching my own son. That's the hardest to me, because I feel like I give him more of the tough love because I expect more from him.
I mean,
there was a point during the game where like he was just frustrated because the call, he ran for an extra point and it didn't go. He had like three different things where he had big plays and they got called back for penalties.
Okay.
And he was frustrated and his frustration was geared in the wrong direction. And at one point towards the end of the game, I just had to grab his face mask and like be like, you need to knock it off. Like, not in a vicious way, but just to get his attention. Right. Look me in my eyes. Right. You need to cut it out right now because you need to be a leader of this team.
Right.
And there's still time left in the game, and we still want to go out and win. I think we were up like 6-0 at this point.
Okay.
There's still time left in this game. We want to go out there,
right,
and win. You need to get lock in and get this done. But would I do it to the other kid? Absolutely not. Right.
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna handle any other kid that way. But that's my kid. And then there was a point where I had one of the other coaches talk to him, because I was like, he just needs to hear it from somebody that's not me.
Right.
And they did that. And so, you know, hopefully that message will get through to him in the way that I intended. But yeah, I mean, and every kid was a little bit different. Some of the kids who are less experienced, when they were out in the field, I would be like, you know, yelling out to them, like, hey, you know, say their name and like, make a play for me. Give me a play. Make a play for me, right? Just to motivate them. And I got a little thumbs up, didn't even turn his head. He just gave me a thumbs up, and I was like, yes. And so just like knowing that, all right, coach got my back while I'm out here. He wants me to make a play. You know, he's hyping me up right now, you know, trying to give them that confidence. But everybody's a little different.
Yeah, they are. And so let me ask you, when it comes to decision making, right? Because now this is a different aspect of coaching, because every player has a different skill set, a different mental, a different emotional. Highs and lows, like roller coasters. Some stay even keel, and you as a coach have to assess all that, and then also see what part of the game we're in, and then put everybody in their position and their role to succeed, and hope they do it together in unison with chemistry, and don't have these, I don't want to do this, coach just making the wrong choice. Like, you know, there's a lot of that happening. And then you have the bleacher warriors. Man, that coach don't know what, man, that's not blah, 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 right? There's a lot of that So there's a lot of
factors. So I've been lucky not to have that yet.
Yet, right?
I mean, we're off to a good start.
But we've had that experience with basketball with some of the other parents voicing their opinions because our kids are maybe really destroying the other team and now they're in their feelings and now this and that. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved.
Yeah.
So how do you handle that decision-making side of it?
So when I was first getting into coaching football and I was still hesitant about being a head coach because I didn't have any experience and I wasn't sure, you know, what I was doing or if I was even going to be good or anything like that. That was kind of one of my hesitations. It was kind of around that. And what I was, you know, the mentorship I was given was, listen, you're the coach. At the end of the day, if anybody else wanted it a different way, speaking like externally for parents and things like that, they should have stepped up to coach.
There you go.
So don't feel bad about that. Make the best decisions that you can in the moment, and you got to live with them like any coach does on any level, right? Definitely this is one of those areas, decision making, where I feel football vastly differentiates than basketball, because there's so many. I mean, not just with trying to piece together the roster, who's going to play where, who's got the skill sets to do this and that. And I had to make some adjustments. I had one kid at running back because he's super fast. He's a soccer player. Had him at running back. But I had another super athletic kid. So I was like, I kind of want to switch and put the other at running back. But I saw the other kid play linebacker in one practice, just filling in for somebody who wasn't there.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, he's flying around and he can tackle. Come to the game, he had 2 tackles for a loss.
Okay.
Because he's just so fast and he was flying through there. So like, that was an example of how even my assistant coach was like, that was a great move to switch him to linebacker instead of running back. So like a decision, like you have to go into building your roster, making sure that all the kids, number one, have the opportunity to play, are put in positions that are gonna utilize their strengths to the best of their ability and not necessarily for less experienced players that they're not necessarily gonna expose them, and they still get the opportunity to learn and see the game up close and play the game and be a part of it. So you got all those decisions. Then you get into, even with basketball, playing time. I mean, there's just so much. And then of course every kid's like, I want to shoot the ball, I want to run the ball, I want to—
everybody wants to be a point guard nowadays.
And so we, you know, I just told him, like, especially with football, every position is important, like we talked about. And we just broke it down to them like that. Everybody's got a role, and every position is important for us to be together as a team. And, you know, that's the approach that I've just taken, is I got to make the decision I are best. I do collaborate with my 2 assistant coaches, thankfully. And same way you and I did with basketball. You know, we would talk about it. But even that, I think, after the game, we stayed to watch the second game, and Dylan asked me something, and I was like, listen, I'm done making decisions, because I just sat there, and because I'm calling the plays on offense. It's like, I just sat there and made decisions for 90 minutes. I'm not making anymore.
I'm done. No, that's awesome, man, because from my experience of basketball, I've noticed that I like to, at some point, once I see that the kids are focused, locked in, and listening, I'll put it on them. What do you guys want to do? And then they're like, oh, we got freedom. Like, we can, but you earned it, right? It's not something that we started off at, hey, what drills do you guys want to do in first day in practice? No. We go through it, and those are some rough, like, there's a lot of like tough drills that we make them do. Lots of running. If you stay locked in and stay focused, the last 10, 15 minutes, because every kid wants to do a scrimmage. We'll run a scrimmage. No problem.
You know what it is in football?
What's that?
For practice, relays.
Oh, relays?
Relay races.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So in that sense, like, as a coach, though, you also give that bit of flexibility. The thing that I've had to understand and adapt as I was going through it was that in practice, my decision making was quite different from when it was game time. Because game time, what you'll notice, a lot of parents who are coaching, is all that you have done in practice goes right out the window sometimes when the game comes to it. When the game comes to it, it's like we never even practiced. And then you're just looking at them like, we just did this.
Right.
We went an hour going through this. And here we are doing the complete opposite. So then it's like, all right, so there are practice players, there are game time players.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect of it. Because what I've noticed though is, so my son, because he plays in AU, in practice, some kids are like phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They shine and they're great. But when it comes game time, it's like in practice, 3-3-3-3 euro, whatever. Like it's buckets all day long. Mm-hmm. When it comes to practice, game time, air ball, brick, air ball, air ball, air ball,
yeah,
turnover, miss pass. So then you're like, all right. So not every kid is I would say built in that way. So you have to kind of figure out how to help him figure that out.
Right.
So there's this different elements of live game time versus practice.
Yep.
You're in your comfort zone versus now it's a different environment. So it's been a bit of a learning curve for the kids and myself as well as a coach, because so be ready for that is, I guess, my message, because it's not going to translate from practice time to game time.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you just got to teach them how to handle adversity, right? And I talk about this in two different ways. So one from, you know, even my son, right? So he's playing quarterback for the first time. And at first he was just like, I don't want to do this. I don't like it. And there were reasons I had, right? So part of the decision making was, well, I want a kid who is back there who is fast, so that if the play breaks down, he can just take off and go. There really weren't a lot of kids that were really interested in playing quarterback anyway. And also, too, I have access to him 24/7. So I know that we can be prepared on the playbook. Like, we spent time Friday night going through his wristband and the number system that we came up with. Like, I'm not able to do that with another kid. So that was part of the reason. Now, if he wasn't fast and played a different position, he wouldn't be back there just because he's the coach's kid. Right. So part of it is like teaching him, at first he wasn't comfortable with it, but how do you overcome that mental block that you have about, I'm not good at this, and you should put somebody else back there too. It's not going to be perfect from day one.
Right.
You got to put in there, like I told him, rep by rep, you got to get better, rep by rep. And now he's like, he's got all the confidence in the world. He started getting it game by game. Then we went to the scrimmage 2 weeks ago. Oh, he got even more confidence, even though it didn't go as well, but there were a couple plays where he saw it, you know, if things broke clicked, down, he took off,
awesome,
got some yardage. You're like, oh, okay, this is what Dad was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Now he's got a game, he's seen it some more. So like, but then on the flip side, so they could overcome that personal, but I think even for us, like, I think as a team, there was some, you know, nerves in the beginning. We got the ball first, we receive, you know, and D took the kickoff like 20-30 yards, but then we had fumble snaps didn't get there, you know, the snap was too high, so then didn't have time, they got through the backfield, like, just we ended up having to
a little sloppy.
Yeah, it was sloppy. And I think it was just nerves to finally like calm down into the second quarter where we scored a touchdown and just continued on. It got, our execution got better and better as the game went. So it was a good lesson for them, that one that I'm going to reiterate tomorrow in practice. Like, that's how we overcome the mental adversity is, if even though things aren't going for us well at first, you got to keep focusing, attention to detail.
Yes.
Get rep by rep, continue to get better. And so you got to teach them how to not just, you know, oh my God, we can't do this. Oh, our line isn't blocking. Oh, they're getting through every time.
Right.
Oh, what are the refs are calling flags. Is it like
the blame game?
A lot of the blame game. So, you know, that's going to be the messaging about overcoming mental adversity, which is all that I think RBA is about.
Basically. So that's funny you said that, because I like to instill the same thing in our kids, right? the how do you overcome adversity? By facing it, head on, not avoiding it. The sooner you face it, the sooner mm-hmm. you will learn how to overcome it. So why are you avoiding it? Right. It's uncomfortable. Left-handed layups for a right-handed shooter are uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
However, comma, just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Face it now, face it sooner, because you don't want to be in a position next year or the year after where now you're learning it.
Right.
Or this is the first time you're going through it. So I like to put our kids through a lot of these adult-like drills because I want them to experience what it's like at that level mm-hmm. early, so it's not foreign by the time they get there. So now you've got a 2-year head start versus somebody who's been avoiding it or hasn't been introduced to it.
Right.
So you're already, and right now it may not make sense to you, mm-hmm. but it will. And you'll remember, oh, you know what? Coach Hack, he walked me through this already.
Right.
So they were trying to prep me. So I'm not looking for immediate rewards. I want you to feel that reward, even if it's a couple of years from now. So, and the other thing I tell the kids, overcoming adversity is, like you said, reps.
Yep.
You have got to put reps. And I tell them, listen, you're not going to get better in this practice. I promise you, you're not getting better in this practice. You're getting better from all the work you put in after practice for the before next practice. Mm-hmm. This is just me giving you the information. What you do with this information on your own time is what's going to get you better for that next practice.
Mm. So, Preach.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's a quote right there.
That's a bar?
That's a bar.
So
bars.
So in that sense, you have to put in work after this practice, right? We're talking about practice? Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're talking about practice.
Because getting better is not in practice. It's the practice you do on your own after and before next practice. So this is why I like to do this a lot. So I know a lot of the coaches, and this is for football is different. I guess I don't see that it happening there. For basketball, though, as a coach, we had access to the gym. We had first dibs to the gym. So what I like to do is I always like to find out in advance, is anybody playing practicing after us mm-hmm. or before us? And if there's a slot that's empty, we're going early. Mm-hmm. We're showing up early or we're staying late. And then we put in extra work. Mm-hmm. And this is on our own extra time because we practice once a week. Listen, an 8-week schedule, meaning 8 practices, 8 hours in a span of 2 months is not getting you better.
Right.
It is not. This is why it's important to practice on your own, as well as if there are extra opportunities, practice then.
Yeah.
So I remember we used to stay afterwards a lot and just go another hour.
We went like another hour and a half full court.
And some parents loved it because sometimes you have to share the court, but when the other team leaves, because they generally coaches are not sticking after.
Right.
Generally. It was the summer. The kids were not in school.
It was easier. It was a lot easier to stay. Yep.
So we stuck around after and we just had them put in work. So technically our team ended up working twice the practices of other teams. So 8 practices, we did 16.
Right.
Just because of all the extra and the clinics that we did. Mm-hmm. For that reason, I felt like our kids, and we spoke about this last episode, grew exponentially.
Right.
Because of that extra work we put in.
Right.
It's just like any dad who works with his or her son or daughter, whatever the case is, or mother who works with their child, work with them on their own. And now when that kid shows up next season, there's a big difference. Like, oh, what were you doing?
Yeah.
You weren't the same kid last year.
Right.
So same thing what we were trying to do, but with a group of kids.
Right.
And also this helps build camaraderie, chemistry. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of factors involved in that extra time that you help put them. Again, reps.
Yep.
So you and that's how you overcome nerves. That's how you overcome experience. Deion Sanders, primetime. Great example. Right, I practice how I play. So when I play, it's like practice.
Mm-hmm. Like I use that one with the kids.
That's a bar, right? Like that's
I kind of modify it a little bit for them. But I say, you know, we practice how we play and we play how we practice.
Right.
So y'all better practice how you want to play in the games.
Correct. And then this way, the game becomes like practice. or close to. Now, the other thing I like to, this I preach a lot. What is the best ability?
Availability.
Availability, right? Availability is the best ability. So if you don't show up to practice, again, don't expect to get those minutes.
See, that's where it's different for you'll see the coach.
You'll see the floor, but yeah, probably not for the frequency versus a kid who came in and really put in work.
Right.
No, no matter what your talent level is.
So like from my football side, every kid has to play. And they have to have a starting position. They got to play significantly. So I have to coach around that and can't hold them responsible if their parents are not able to bring them. Right. It's a little bit different than the competitive travel team type, but
yeah, those are
so that's a challenge. That's a challenge.
That is a big challenge, right?
But I'll tell you, along these lines of what you're talking about, putting the work in after is absolutely. And what I love is, and because I know your son and my son both have it, so they want to.
Yes.
And so D, like he, our agreement since going back to spring when I signed him up for tackle football was going to be, it was Sunday mornings, as long as we didn't have games on Sunday, which most of them are supposed to be on Saturday. Sunday mornings, we go out, hit a field, come back, shower, and watch football. That was our that was our plan. And he's so pissed because the last two Sundays it's rained.
Oh, man.
And so it's gotten rained
out.
That's
awesome that he's angry at it. He's mad at that he lost an opportunity, right? And he wants to work.
Yep.
3 days already, plus I want to work more.
3 days plus a game plus
So and that's it. That's the separator.
Yep.
That's what I tell Tej, right? He's working already. And I'm like, listen, right now, I could tell you those other kids on your team are not. Maybe one or two are. But again, that's gonna pay off at some point. Right now what happens is, so I really wanna share this with parents and coaches who really go in with the expectations and you're new to this. Understanding, managing your own expectations of your child or other kids when it comes to development and how other kids seemingly are better, per se, quote unquote. There were instances of this where, so some kid is just bigger, stronger, faster than everybody else. That is his advantage. Keyword is right now. Now what happens is that kid, if that kid does not have the, you know, the working bug or whatever you want to say, you know, the RBA or the I want to go grind
the work ethic.
The work ethic, right? To go work. If they don't want to get better.
If they don't want it.
Right. But because I'm dominating now, why do I need to? I'm already handling business. I'm being praised. I'm getting the accolades. And everyone's like, oh yeah, you're great. However, if you watch it with the coaching eye, the kid does the same exact move every single play.
Because it works right now.
Because it works right now. You're bigger. No one can stop you. That's become his comfort zone. The kid doesn't work on now other things. To be a complete player, you got to work on your total package. Now, the kid that's not shining, but is working and working and working, right? Just keep working. Don't get discouraged. Don't blame the child for not being able to because the other kid. No. Just continue working. And this is for all the kids too. If you keep the work up, at some point, that kid's going to hit a ceiling and you're going to go right past him. You're going to blow by that kid. And then it's going to be like, oh, see, all that hard work paid off. So don't ever, ever, ever get into a comfort zone thinking, oh, I'm good, because you are not good. Even when you get to the professional league, you're starting again. Because those are all the guys, the men, the hymns from college.
Bro, I was just listening on my, literally on my drive over here. I was listening to Unk.
Okay.
Shay Shay. On the Kelsey podcast with the Kelsey brothers. Yeah. And they were talking about how he was almost cut.
Yep.
And his name got on the board. And one of the coaches went to him and said, your name is on the board. for the like 12 to 15 players that might be released,
okay,
you know, at the end of training camp that year. And so he said, you need to go out and do something in this game, because if anything is going to be on tape for all the other teams, and somebody's going to pick you up,
right?
Because you just got too much talent. Well, he went out there and he did what he needed to do to get his name off the board. Mm. But the point was that he then didn't become complacent. And he said every day then forward, he came into the building to do one thing. He said, I came in to do one thing for them to keep me the next day.
There you go.
I come in every day to do one thing for them to keep me the next day.
Right. And that's the prime, what value do you bring? Which comes down to decision making with roles. Mm-hmm. Now, if coach has given you a role, and I'm going to steal Doc Rivers' quote here, be a star in your role. Because if you're a star in your role, that opens up opportunities, because you didn't, as a coach now, here's what I'm watching. You didn't complain. You went out and did what was asked of you. You did it at a high level. And you congratulated and celebrated with your teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You were accountable. You're responsible. You're a listener. You're a doer.
Mm-hmm.
And you put in the work. What more can I ask for as a coach? That's it.
Right.
So now when the opportunity comes when somebody leaves a team or moves on or whatever, you know what? I want to put him in. I want to have him, I'm going to give him a shot. And that opens up doors for you. And as a coach, for me personally, I'm watching body language a lot. Because I don't know everybody. If I see you, what I'm seeing on film, I don't know you personally. So if I'm watching you on film and I don't know you, that film is my first initial introduction to you. So that means always be mindful that you're being watched, mm-hmm. even when you think you're not. If you're in a public setting, you're being watched. So behave like a professional and be respectful, and even know when you're sitting on the bench, you're being watched.
Act like you've been there.
Act like you've
That's going to be part of the message. We had a little issue with that with D over the weekend, because he had a couple, like I said, big plays that were called back. One was on a really questionable call, but you know what, like,
but that's,
the refs are human.
Right,
they're there. It was a bad call. Mm. It is what it is. We still ended up winning the game. It's not like it was decisive, but it took away a big play. And and Dylan's body language was not good after that. Okay. And so what I did was, because we had somebody, a parent, live stream it.
Mm.
And I rolled it back. I rolled back the tape. And I slowed it down.
Mm.
And I showed him step by step everything he did. And I said, now, I know that you're a good kid.
Mm.
I know you got a good heart,
right?
Et cetera. But there's a whole lot of people that were sitting there watching that game.
Right. They don't know
it was being live streamed out to other families of these kids who they don't know who you are.
Right.
So what do you think that they think of this kid?
Correct.
And the way he was acting during his play. Is that how you want people to think of you?
Right.
And so he kind of started to see it from there. But
no, that's great.
In the moment, it's hard to think about.
It is.
Especially at this age, right? About those, you know, I'm frustrated, this and that.
Thinking maturely at a young age is difficult.
It's difficult, but...
But if you're introduced to it, right, early...
I was so glad I had the tape.
So I'm so glad you said about tape, right? Here's another piece of advice I'd like to give potential coaches. Record your child, right? Have tape on them, but not for watching their highlights.
I knew you were going to say that.
Not for their highlights. Please not their highlights. Highlights are okay, right? Just to see what you did well. But not to really like embellish on it and, oh yeah, I'm the man. No, no, not for that. Watch it for their lowlights. Watch it for areas where they can improve, for film study.
Right.
You're watching from that view, that point of view, right? So if when you watch it from that point of view, now you become a student of the game. You're teaching your child to watch the game from the student aspect rather than a fan enjoyment or athletic, like, oh yeah, I'm the man. No, right? And that also, you don't want to feed into the ego, because that takes away from the team.
Right.
So have this, we had an AU tournament this last weekend, two games, and teams from all over the place showed up. Right? Mm-hmm. It got pretty intense. And I had the, because I've been to a few now, like I'm a little more knowledgeable about what to expect.
And seasoned.
I'm a, sure, right? I'm pre-seasoned right now, right? So I'm sitting there and they put me on scoreboard duty.
Mm-hmm.
Never ran a scoreboard before. All right, so let's learn. And I was glad I was on that side because I never really got to watch from like a fan, like outside, oh, the scoreboard, and I don't have control of the clock. So I got really got to the control situation from my end a little bit. And I watched it very objectively. And I saw that there's a different type of emphasis that was put on the way these games are played. And we're going to get into the environment side of it a little, probably right after this. But I wanted to say, I had somebody record Tage just to when he was shooting free throws.
Because
I kept noticing something. And we worked on this. And after a while, I saw what he did, because it was shared with me. And I walked over to him and I said, hey, Tage. Like, I didn't do it on the court, right? I did it afterwards. And I said, hey, your shot is this, right? And he's so full of adrenaline, not trying to hear all this, and they just won, and you know, like, whatever, right?
You roll back the tape.
I rolled back the tape.
And like, I said, I came with receipts.
Correct. I came with receipts, my boy. And I showed him. I slowed it down. And I said, hey, look, see that? What do you see right there? What do you see? Clicked. Immediately calmed down. Corrected the next game.
Mm-hmm.
So record your child for that, for to correct, but not to criticize and blame. Don't blame your child. Oh, look, you could have, should have done this, and you, this is why you, right? Not like that. From a film study standpoint, be mindful and think that way when you coach and when you, especially your own child, and even your team. You do film study, like any other child you do, just that's how you should treat your child in that sense. I'm teaching you, this is a learning moment, a teaching moment, not a me criticizing you that you can't do it moment.
Mm-hmm.
And also not a look how great you are. Like, this is a great play, keep it up. That's just wanted to say that.
I mean, I agree. You know what the next level though is for our boys, right?
What's that?
It's gonna be getting them a real trainer. You know what's coming sooner rather than later.
Man.
But that's a convo for another day.
That's coming. It is coming.
It's quick.
So you know what I learned was, because there's a lot of crossover in football and basketball, there are football athletes who help come and train basketball players, and basketball players who train football players, vice versa. So also as a coach, be open to options outside of your sport.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everything is.
Oh yeah, no.
Tunnel vision.
I told D he's playing multiple sports.
Right.
He's not just even though football is his primary, he's playing multiple sports. He's gonna play basketball. He's gonna play.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wants to do a little lacrosse. He wants to. Oh yeah, he's gonna be doing multiple sports.
Listen, D, I'm talking to you, D. What camera to look at? D, if you don't run track, Tyreek Hill ran track.
I'm going to convince him to run track. He's going to be running track.
Take this snip and show this little snippet
to him. Oh, I will. Because I will.
You need to run track, bro.
He's going to run track. He's too
fast.
And I
love talking trash to D.
I know.
Because he like amps it up and like really takes it. And like,
oh, yeah.
And I love it. And that's how Tage is, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just need to hear. For them, we can be a little. I can be a little more unfiltered.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not like abrasive language, but a little trash talk here and there.
And push your buttons a little.
Yeah. Just to see, you know, like D, you're never going to beat me. Come on, man.
Right.
I'm going to beat Uncle Hag one day, for sure. And he's probably going to smoke me one day.
But.
However, comma.
We're going to have fun with it till then.
Exactly. So I wanted to ask you, now, with environment, because house football, flag football, house league, rec leagues, totally different environment, very casual almost, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody comes with an expectation, this is just for fun, mm-hmm. trying to keep my child busy. But when you take that next leap to a more competitive mm-hmm. league, have you noticed a big difference?
I mean, I only have about one game of knowledge for that, so because,
but even from intensity, from practices, and
so for me, I think the intensity that I brought was the same, whether it was us coaching basketball this summer, house league basketball, versus this. What I learned is that as I reflect, I'm very vocal on the field. In practice, I observe.
Okay.
I observe and I use that as an opportunity to kind of correct in a more mild way. But definitely, like, when the game is going on, I'm talking every play.
Okay.
Every play, because even one, on the offense, I got to communicate in the play, or two, when the defense is on the field, I'm, you know, giving them some general instruction, particularly like this particular one, they didn't run any receivers, so I kept having to make sure that our corners pushed in a little bit. They started trying to run up the middle, and so I made sure that our linebackers started to stunt in toward the middle and kind of pinch in a little bit. So like every play, I'm yelling from the side to the point where I thought I was going to lose my voice. Probably why I got a little something in my throat today. But I'm definitely way more vocal. I learned that because the environment, I think the environment was different because we were in, we were on a high school football field. Playing. I mean, for the kids, like, that's a,
it's a big deal.
Big difference. You've got a big set of huge bleachers up there.
All these floodlights, you know?
And I think, I don't know if it was more intense. I was so locked in that I don't know if it was more intense than like our champ, you know, our championship game. I would think from the vocal perspective that like being enclosed in a gym is probably louder than being outside.
True.
But definitely like, it felt bigger because we were on a high school football field. But then like our scrimmage that we went to was just like on a random baseball field. Tiny little bleachers. So like, I guess it just depends on where you go. I don't know. But we definitely, I mean, we were there to compete.
I mean, listen, yeah, it doesn't matter where you play.
Right.
No, you come to win or try to win.
Right.
Or try to work. For me, what I noticed was, and you saw a little taste of this, right? House league, you've experienced that versus AAU basketball.
There's not even like, why are we talking? There's no different. I mean, like, there's no comparison at all.
AAU basketball was a whole another beast.
Bro, I went to one competition. What do they call them?
Yeah, which
one event.
Yeah,
so I had like two games in the same day.
Yep,
same afternoon, bro. It's like that's
night,
next
night and
level.
Day, right? Night and day.
Yeah,
and just that, from even the parents were next level, refs were next level, other team coaches, players, like it was, everything was next level.
Oh yeah,
and it was just like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah,
because you come from a totally different environment. So just when you do get to that point, be ready for that
culture shock.
Yeah, huge culture shock. So my advice was to kind of learn the ropes. Don't just jump into it. Like, really learn that side before you get into it, because it gets intense.
Yeah.
Intense. I have a little, I don't know what the right word here is.
Here we go. We got a hack coloring outside the lines again.
No, this is not actually. Okay. This is not. This is a something I noticed. And I had my little, so you'll see, I don't know what the right word is. I guess you can tell me what the right word for this is. Too much emphasis is put on winning. Too much. And even to the point where I felt that it takes away from the development side of a child who's learning the game right now. It's a very, very early stage.
Are you talking about from the AAU?
AAU, yeah. At least from there. What I've noticed is, because it gets to the point where now it's a coach's pride.
Because I disagree with that. Okay.
AAU.
I still disagree, but go
because
ahead. I'll listen to you.
Because what happened was, there's multiple teams, right? There are multiple teams that were playing. So usually teams have an A squad, B squad for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing a lesser team. And we kind of knew this is going to be we're gonna clean house with them. So with the coach, generally what we do, we start with the A team, you go do your thing, bring in the B team, right? Secure the win, right? Almost like garbage minutes in NBA basketball. But now you're at that point, you're professional. Right now you're learning. From a learning standpoint, if you know the team you're about to play is a weaker team, because you've already scouted them, you know they're weak, here's an opportunity to bring in the B team to show what they can do from 0-0, to really show and help them build that confidence, help them build that, we can do this too. Here's an opportunity to show that we can do this. And if you can't, now you learn where your weaknesses are, what level you're at versus the A team. So what I noticed was, got to this huge lead, like ridiculous lead. It wasn't even fair, that kind of lead. And then those A team players played for the majority of the game. And they played, and then the last 4 or 5 minutes, you brought in the B team to just kind of run it.
Mm-hmm.
What we noticed was, though, the B team came in and they further extended that lead. But again, that could also play in a factor that, all right, we got this lead, we don't have the pressure now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's flip it. See, I like to just mess things up and really, really test the cow. Because from a developmental standpoint, think about it this way. You bring in the B team. Now, if they do good, you just learn that they can handle it. That builds their confidence.
Right.
You give them playing time, because without playing time, you're not really going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give them experience. A team is already getting their experience, right? So bring in the B team, let them figure it out. Let's say they don't figure it out. Let's say they were down by whatever number. All right, now we know where you guys are at. You guys got the experience. There's no more what ifs anymore. You figured it out. Bring in the A team. All right, bring us back. Helping them raise their game on how to learn to come back from big leads with a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody develops and steps their game up to learn their weaknesses and their strengths, and then to, now I know as a coach, here's what I'm going to target next practice. Here's what we saw. Here's my game plan now to fix this and or further work on this. When you did it the other way, it becomes more of a scrimmage. No one's getting better, especially when you know the team in front of you is weak. So that's kind of where I would have flipped it and really tested it. And I love coloring outside the lines, and I felt like that would have been a great opportunity to color outside the lines and really test that case study.
Sounds like you should sign up to be an AAU coach, sir.
I don't know about that.
Because I disagree, but I agree at the same time. Mm. So
yes, partially, I got him a little bit.
Partially, because I'm sure that there's some ego involved. There's also there's also some coaching philosophies that they don't want a team to get confidence, which is why they would never do that, because they don't even want the other team to get some confidence, like they can win this game.
Sure.
So they don't even want to risk taking a lead. They just want to get that lead comfortably and then let it ride out. Because what the second part where I disagreed was, more than ego, it's a business, man. And there's so much out there about the business of AAU, because if they don't win that game, or they don't, if it's a team they're supposed to beat, and for whatever reason, a coach flipped it like that, and let's say they didn't get that lead back, and they end up losing these games that they're supposed to win, that's not going to attract kids to the program, right? And then also to the expectation of the A players and the playing time that they're the better players, and how come you're not. All of that plays into the business of the AAU. Not to say that there's not coach's ego. Of course there is, right? But at the end of the day, it is a business. That's why it's more intense. That's why it's much more cutthroat.
It is. But one game is not going to do that. You joining a program, one game is not determining.
Oh, no.
Especially when you destroyed you won the first game, second game. And especially when you know the team you're about to play, and everybody knows it.
Oh, I agree with
that. Is at a lower level.
I agree with you, but most coaches are not, they're not comfortable doing that. That's why I said you need to sign up as an AAU coach, sir.
I don't know about that. Not right now.
I think you should.
Maybe, but even if I do it, I don't care about the business. Because for me, even our clinics, we do this for free. If I was more business minded, it'd be a little bit.
But if you're running your own AAU program, no, it's
correct. But if I was, again, I think about it this way. These kids are right now at a developmental stage. If these kids were 16, 17, 18, oh, you bet the 18's coming in.
It starts at this age now.
But yeah, but you're developing.
There are kids. There are YouTube videos of 8-year-old phenomenon football players and basketball players, like
the best 8-year-old in the country. What? What are we doing here?
It's true though, but like that's
like there's apparently a 10-year-old football player has an NIL deal already.
Yeah, I mean it wouldn't shock me.
Like at that point, like I feel like you're losing that love of the game.
Bruh, it's all a business.
It is,
and it's where it comes down to the parents. And right, like we talked about earlier in this episode, I think a little bit in the last episode, is you can't live through your kids. And I've been very clear with Dylan. This is we can put a bow on this one. But I've been very clear with D, like I can't want this for you. Like
facts.
I had my
facts.
Shot.
Facts.
I had my shot and it didn't happen. It didn't work out. You know, I stopped playing when I wish I wouldn't have. And I can't go back and change that. If you don't want to do this, I'm good.
Right.
If you can do whatever you want to do that's going to make you happy. But I can't want it for you, because then it's going to become a chore for you and you're not going to like
it.
You're going to become resentful. So, but, however, comma, if you want it, I will be able to support you in it. And I have the means to support you in it. And we can take this as far as you want to take it.
Right.
And as far as your abilities and your mindset and your work ethic will take it.
Right. Right.
So I'm here to do that with you.
Right.
But I'm not going to push you and make you do it just because I have some fantasy about, son's an NFL player. Like, he could go all the way through college. He could go all the way through D1 and still not make the NFL. Right.
Anything
can happen.
Right.
But I want him to want it.
Absolutely.
And then I just support him.
No, that's Hunter, man. That's the same message I have at the age. Like, what's your goal? If this is your goal, I can help you along the way. But know this, that this goal, what you have, is really going to require what Kenny Smith says, real quick. Sorry to extend this out a little longer, but I love this quote. He said, and this is Kenny the Jet Smith on TNT. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that the stars and those people do the ordinary extra. That's it. It's the only difference between ordinary and extraordinary. Just doing the ordinary extra. Simple as that. You got to want it to do it extra. If you don't want it, I can't do it for you.
Right.
So, sir?
Sir.
This one went a little long?
I think that was a great way to sum it all up.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully this is helpful to all y'all first-timer newbie coaches. And all the best. Good luck. And we look forward. We want to hear your stories, actually. Tell us some of your stories.
I definitely would love to hear from some other football coaches that are coaching 8 to 12-year-olds and some of the strategies they use.
Yes, and the same with basketball. Please share your stories so we can learn and grow together.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, make this thing happen. All right. So, sir, thank you for joining us.
Joining us like a guest.
What am I doing?
Wait a minute. I'm a guest on my own podcast?
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
Damn, bro.
So thank you for y'all joining us. And with that, deuces.
Peace.